Okay, let's start with a hard truth about the digital economy.
Mm.
We spend a massive amount of time talking about distribution.
Oh, constantly. It's all about the platforms, YouTube, Spotify, you name it.
Exactly. We act like the problem is just getting information out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, that part is mostly solved. The pipes are huge. But there's this bottleneck we don't talk about enough.
Production.
Production. It's the classic pipe problem, isn't it?
It is. You've got these massive conduits, right?
Yeah.
Capable of delivering terabytes of data to anyone, anywhere, instantly. But filling those pipes, actually creating the reports, the videos, the updates, that is still stuck in a very manual, very linear gear.
So we're operating in an exponential distribution world, but with a linear production process.
Yeah.
And that tension is exactly what we're digging into in this deep dive.
Right.
We've got a stack of research here pointing to this collision between two very different kinds of tech. On one side, we have the industrial heavyweight, SS&C Blue Prism.
The backbone of the enterprise, no question.
And on the other, a piece of infrastructure called Auto Content API. Now, for you listening, you probably know Blue Prism. You know the RPA landscape. But the mission today is to figure out what happens when you plug a so-called creative API into an industrial automation engine.
Does it actually solve that last mile problem? Or is it, just adding more noise to the system?
That's the question. Because if you look at the source material we have on Blue Prism, the whole narrative has shifted. For a long time, the story was just bots.
Task automation, yeah.
But looking at their recent moves, they're pushing hard into something they call agentic automation.
And we should probably pause on that word, agentic.
I think so. It's becoming one of those buzzwords that everyone uses, but, well, nobody really defines. So in the context of these documents, how is Blue Prism setting this apart from the standard RPA we've all known for a decade?
Well, the distinction is critical. Traditional RPA, what Blue Prism built its empire on, is deterministic. It's a recipe.
Step one, do this. Step two, do that.
Exactly. Step one, open Excel. Step two, copy cell C4. Step three, paste it into SAP. It's rigid. And it's fragile. If a button moves 3 pixels to the right, the whole bot just crashes.
Right.
Agentic implies agency. It implies an ability to navigate ambiguity, using generative AI.
So instead of a script, you're giving the software a goal, like process this loan, and it just figures out the steps.
To an extent, yes. The framework they use, and this is right in their core documentation, is orchestrate, automate, control. They're using Gen AI for the messy bits, the unstructured stuff, while the old school RPA handles the raw transactional execution.
And you can see this in the numbers.
You really can. They have a case study with SS&C's own internal ops processing credit agreements, and they claim to be doing it 95% faster.
95%. That's a stop the presses kind of number. That's not an efficiency game. That's a total transformation.
It is. Or look at Avanza, the banking client. They're using this hybrid approach to respond to customer inquiries 60% faster. Frienda, an insurer, got vendor payment turnaround down to just one day.
So the doing part of the equation, the back-end processing. Blue Prism has that completely locked down.
Oh, yeah. They're processing the transaction, approving the loan, reconciling the ledger. The work is getting done.
But coming here, processing a loan 95% faster doesn't mean the customer feels that speed, does it?
That is the gap. That's it, exactly. You have these incredible systems doing amazing work in the dark, but the value is trapped. It's in a database row or a JSON log file.
So the last mile.
The last mile of communicating that value back to a human, whether it's a customer asking, why was my loan denied, or an employee asking, what's the new protocol, that's still manual.
Which brings us to player number two, Auto Content API. Now, looking at their docs, they call themselves Programmable Content Infrastructure. Sounds a bit fancy.
It does.
Strip away the marketing for us. What are we actually looking at?
We are looking at a headless engine. So, unlike tools like ChatGPT, where you have a human typing into a box, auto content is designed to be spoken to by machines. It takes raw data PDFs, text, URLs, whatever, and programmatically turns it into broadcast quality assets. We're talking audio, video, summaries.
So, no user interface, no Steve from marketing clicking a generate button.
Ideally, no. It integrates through standard REST protocols. So if you're a Blue Prism architect, you're not thinking about a UI. You're thinking about visual business objects or
You're
VBOs.
building it into a process flow.
You are. And usually the end of that flow is something like write to database or send SMTP email.
The dreaded automated email that nobody ever reads.
Precisely. The logic here is to replace that send email stage with an API call to auto content. You pass it a payload, say the details of a complex insurance claim, and the API sends back a link to a personalized audio explanation.
I want to challenge that a bit because, you know, technically you can generate a video for every single transaction, but should you? We're already drowning in content.
It's a very fair question.
Is adding an automated media layer to an enterprise process solving a problem or just creating a new, shinier kind of spam?
That is absolutely the right skepticism to have. If you just blast out generic videos, yes, it's spam. But let's look at the internal training use case from the notes. This is where the argument for mental availability gets really interesting.
Mental availability. Unpack that for me.
Okay, think about the industry's Blue Prism serves. Healthcare, finance, public sector. They are all highly regulated.
The documentation load is crushing.
It's crushing. Every week, there's a new compliance update, a new protocol. And how is that distributed now? As a 10-page PDF.
Which, let's be honest, most employees will skim at best.
If they even open it at all. And that's a huge liability. Now, imagine a Blue Prism process that's monitoring the regulatory repository. When it detects a new patient data privacy rule, for instance, it triggers the auto content API.
Okay.
But it doesn't just summarize it. It uses this feature they call the Notebook LM API alternative.
I saw that in the specs. It mimics a deep dive style with two voices discussing the topic.
Right. It generates a dialogue, a host and an expert voice discussing the specific changes in that document, explaining the nuance, maybe even making it a bit more engaging.
So instead of forcing a nurse or a loan officer to sit and read a dense memo, they get a 5-minute audio file they can listen to on the drive home.
You're turning dead time, the commute, time at the gym, into active learning time. That's what capturing mental availability means. And because the information comes from the source of truth managed by Blue Prism, it's not hallucinating, it's grounded.
You know, I want to connect this to a specific Blue Prism example, the AHS Alberta Health Services case study. They saved $15.8 million by automating admin tasks, a huge win.
Massive.
But from the patient's perspective, that administrative automation is totally invisible to the person who's sick in the bed.
It is, and that's where that last mile fails again. AHS might process discharge paperwork instantly now, but the patient still gets handed a stack of paper instructions.
The medication schedules, wound care, follow-up dates.
And a confused patient is often a readmitted patient. That's a real cost.
So the play there would be, the Blue Prism bot finalizes the discharge data, and that immediately triggers auto content to generate a personalized video.
Hi, John. Here is your recovery plan. Remember to take this pill at 8 a.m., and here is a quick demonstration of how you change your dressing.
That completely changes the dynamic. It goes from processing a record to, well, caring for a patient.
It does.
But let's flip that. That's internal or one-to-one communication. What about one-to-many? Marketing. The notes mention this idea of newsjacking.
This is where speed becomes the only metric that really matters.
Newsjacking always makes me nervous. It sounds like a fantastic way for a brand to say something stupid very, very quickly.
It carries risk, absolutely. But think about the clients Blue Prism has in wealth and asset management. Companies like Invesco or BlackRock, their product is insight.
Right.
So when the Fed changes interest rates or there's some geopolitical event, their clients expect an immediate perspective. What does this mean for my portfolio?
And usually that perspective takes, what, 3 days to produce? You have to write a brief, get it through legal, film a video, edit it.
By the time it's out, the market has already moved on. It's old news.
So how does this workflow collapse that timeline?
Well, the auto content system has this deep research endpoint. You can set up agents to monitor live feeds X, Reddit, financial news APIs.
So it spots the trend. Interest rates are up 0.25%.
It spots the trend, it synthesizes the initial data, but, and this is where the control part of Blue Prism's framework is so vital, you wouldn't just let it publish automatically.
Of course not.
You'd have a Blue Prism process that routes that draft script to a compliance officer's Slack or Teams for a quick human-in-the-loop approval.
Ah, okay, so the bot does the heavy lifting, but a human gives the final thumbs up.
And the moment that approval is clicked, bam, the Blue Prism process calls the auto content video endpoint. It generates a vertical video, maybe with a branded AI avatar, lip-syncing the script, subtitles, B-roll, the whole nine yards.
So you could go from Fed announcement to client update video in, what, 20 minutes?
Probably less. And that opens up a faceless channel strategy. You could be putting out 3, 4, 5 market updates a day. You just dominate the feed. You become the source of information because you are the fastest source.
That combination of Blue Prism's governance, the control in their triad and auto content speed, that seems to be the hedge against the risk I mentioned.
That's the idea. You're not just letting an LLM ramble, you're wrapping it in a secure enterprise-grade workflow.
The automated enterprise.
Exactly. It's not just about doing the work, it's about explaining the work. But we have to talk about scale, because Blue Prism is global. We're talking Santander, Telefonica, AB InBev.
Right, these aren't single language operations. A report generated in London is useless to a branch manager in Sao Paulo until it's translated. And translation is slow and expensive.
This is where the tech gets really cool. Auto Content supports over 50 languages, but the key term in their documentation isn't translation, it's resynthesis.
What's the functional difference?
Translation is just text to text. Hello becomes hola. Resynthesis is taking the source concept and generating a brand new native audio or video asset in the target language.
So it's not just a bad dub.
No, it's creating a fresh asset from scratch. So a Blue Prism workflow processes a quarterly report in English. Then in the same workflow, it could loop through a list of target regions. It sends the data to Auto Content and asks for a German audio summary, a Japanese video, and a Spanish text brief.
All at the same time.
Instantly. Simultaneously. You've just multiplied the reach of that single piece of intelligence by like a factor of 10 without hiring a single local agency or translator.
Which brings us to the part of the conversation that decides if this stuff actually gets bought. The economics.
The ROI argument here is pretty stark.
I mean, enterprise content usually just means expensive. We're all used to agency retainers and studio time.
Let's break down the traditional cost. To produce a good 15-minute audio deep dive or a polished corporate video, you are looking at hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per asset.
Easily. Factor in the writer, the voice talent, the editor, the project manager. $1,000 is probably a conservative estimate for a decent corporate video.
Now look at the Auto Content pricing model from the data. It's credit-based. Podcast episode is about 10 credits. Depending on your plan, that's somewhere between 10 cents and 2 euros.
Wait, 10 cents?
10 cents. Even at the highest enterprise tier, it's a rounding error. A short video is maybe 400 credits, let's say 4 euros.
So we are talking about a cost reduction of, what, 99%?
We are, but the really interesting part isn't just saving money on the content you already make, it's the content you can now afford to make. This is the long-tail advantage.
Explain that in the context of, say, an insurance company.
Okay, an insurer might have 50 different policy types. They have a budget to make slick videos for their top 3 sellers, right? Gold plan, silver plan, bronze plan.
Sure, that's where the money is.
But what about their policy for supplemental dental for non-smokers in Ohio? You have customers for that, but not nearly enough to justify a $5,000 video.
So those customers get a PDF. They get the wall of text.
Exactly. But with the 10-cent production cost, the math totally changes. You can afford to generate a specific, high-quality explainer video for every single policy variant. You can flood the zone. You're not choosing what to explain anymore. You're just explaining everything.
That connects directly to programmatic SEO, doesn't it? If you have unique media for every single page, Google has to love that.
It does. But there's a nuance here that really plays into the Blue Prism vision of the future. We talked about agentic automation. We need to talk about the agentic web.
This is the idea that soon we won't be the only ones browsing websites. AI agents will be doing it for us.
Exactly. If I tell my personal AI, find me the best insurance policy, it's not looking at your pretty banner images. It's scraping for structured data.
Yeah.
It just wants the facts.
And Auto Content helps with that.
The output isn't just an MP3 or an MP4 file. It also provides structured JSON and HTML. It formats the content in a way that is inherently machine readable. So you have Blue Prism agents doing the work, and Auto Content agents formatting the output so other agents can understand it.
It's agents all the way down.
It really is. You're building a communication layer that works for humans because we like video and audio, but it also works for the machines that are going to be making more and more decisions for us.
So let's pull this all together. We started with the bottleneck of production. We looked at Blue Prism's move to agentic automation making machines smarter. Then we looked at Auto Content as the engine to give those machines a voice.
And the synergy is that Blue Prism provides the process and the logic, the source of truth, if you will, and Auto Content provides the explanation and the media.
It feels like we are moving toward a world where the enterprise doesn't just run itself, it reports on itself.
That's the destination, the self-reporting company.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative thought to chew on.
Yep.
If Blue Prism agents can execute all the complex tasks and Auto Content agents can explain those tasks to everyone, what is the role of the human in the middle?
We stop being the operators. We stop being the creators. We become the directors.
The strategists.
We set the strategy. We define the guardrails. And then we kind of get out of the way.
A shift from human-created to purely human-directed. That's a big leap.
It's a huge leap. But looking at how these two technologies could intersect, the latter is already being built.
Fascinating stuff. We will definitely be watching to see which of these giants takes the first real step toward that future. Thanks for diving deep with us.
Always a pleasure.